just read just a moment ago, and share a couple of thoughts there, and just really share what the Lord is wanting us to do, and to try to be a help to everyone this evening. And that's our goal, and that's, of course, our desire to do that. So go back to Matthew chapter 28, and we'll read those two verses that we read just a second ago again. Matthew chapter 28, verses 19 and 20. Bible says, "Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world." Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we thank you again for your goodness and grace. And Lord, at this time, we just ask for your help, Lord, on the message at hand tonight. We ask for your wisdom. Lord, we need your help. We can't accomplish it without you. Lord, I pray that you remove us out of the way, God, that we can learn from the word tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. For the next few weeks, and spending much time in prayer, for the next few weeks, I really feel like the Lord has led us to, on Wednesday nights, doesn't mean that circumstances, if something comes up, was to change, and we certainly will follow the Lord's leadership on that, but our desires are really go through a little series on Bible doctrines, biblical doctrines in particular, and we just see the need as the church continues to grow for us to have a good understanding of biblical doctrine, amen. We need to know why we believe what we believe, amen. I never wanted anybody to be at our church and say, "Well, why do you believe that?" The answer, church, should never be, "Well, because the pastor said so." Amen. What I say so on that point concerning doctrine is irrelevant. It must be out of the Word of God. Amen. And so the proper answer, and so to be able to give the proper answer, you have to know the proper knowledge. And so the answer, "Why do you believe that?" Well, because the Bible tells me so. Amen. And that's a good way of thinking, church. Anyway, anytime we do anything for the glory of God or believe something or practice something, because the Bible says, no, that's always a safe place. If we always get to the place, and be careful, church, well, this YouTube preacher said this. Just be careful about that, because YouTube preachers are wrong all the time. Amen? They're wrong all the time. And also say, well, they used a verse, and just let me caution you on that too, because sometimes they can take things out of context. If you're kind of an expert in that area, I guess, if you want to call it that, or however, you can just about make anything you want to say. But friend, we believe in the Bible. We believe in the Word of God, and it's important, critical for you to understand and know why we believe what we believe. And tonight we're going to deal with really an important subject, and it's probably something that if you've been in church for a while, you're very familiar with. But at the same token, it's also important for us to know as a church, just because it's something that we know and understand, let's not ever assume that everybody knows or understands. So really the foundation of what our preaching or thinking is for the message tonight, and for the record, we're going to deal with the ordinances here in just a minute. But do you notice there in the text where he said, "Go ye therefore and teach all nations," and then he says, "baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost." And then he reiterates that again in verse number 20 by saying, "teaching them to observe all things." Amen. I like that part where Christ himself said all things. Paul referred to as, "I shun not to teach and preach the whole counsel of God." And it's our desire to the best that we can to preach and teach out of the whole Bible, to observe all things. And so there's two things that we're getting ready to observe or practice coming up again soon in communion and baptism. And so we're going to try to be a help to you in that and get you a better understanding of those things. But he said, "teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I'm with you always." So we see that there's a biblical mandate here from the Lord Jesus Christ to teach on these things. And so it's our desire to be obedient to the Lord in doing those things. Go ahead and go with me now to the book of Romans chapter 6. Now, when we say two ordinances of the church, let me just explain what we mean. There's two scriptural ordinances of the church, and that is baptism, and that is communion. And the first one we're going to talk about here for just a few moments is baptism, and then we're going to talk about communion here in just a second. Now, Before we go any further, I need to be very clear and tell you these are not sacraments that we're talking about. And let me tell you why we say that, because sometimes when people say sacraments, they can confuse that. They can use that as a way of necessary means for salvation. There's nothing that is necessary according to Scripture to be saved other than receiving the Lord Jesus Christ as our personal Savior, okay? It's not added to with baptism. It's not added to with communion. They are important. We should, as a church, practice them, but is not connected to our salvation, okay? So I'm very cautious of that. We refer to them as the ordinances of the church, not necessarily the sacraments, because there's a lot of faiths. So when they say, what are you guys doing? Well, we're having the sacrament. But just be careful about that, because people get confused on that, okay? So I just want to mention that first of all as we get into this. But if we're looking here, we're going to read some scripture here in Romans chapter 6. First of all, and we'll share a few thoughts there. Verse number 1, what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Now let me just say something real quick. This is not part of the message, but I really like this scripture quite a bit. Being saved, I know that there's as we grow in grace and knowledge of our Lord, we know that once we're saved, we're always saved. But salvation is also not a license to sin. Amen. We don't work to be saved, but we work because we are saved. Amen. We cannot work and earn our salvation, just like baptism, communion, giving, faithful church. That has nothing to do with salvation. Now, because you are saved, we believe those things. We practice those things because they are in the Word of God. But what I'm just reminding you, I'm just pointing out, I'm not preaching on this tonight, that when it says, shall we continue in sin that grace may abound, that's a way of thinking and saying, well, you know, it's all right for me to continue down this sinful lifestyle because I know the Lord will forgive me according to the Word of God. That does not please God in any way. That is not the Lord's will for our life. So if we have a sinful lifestyle, if there's something in our life, we should not think, well, God will forgive me, God is gracious, and God is gracious, by the way, and God will forgive you according to the Word of God, but that should not be our way of thinking. In fact, in the next verse, he says, God forbid. God forbid. So go down to verse number 3. Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? Therefore, we are buried with him by baptism into death, that, notice, like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we should walk in newness of life. So when we're talking about baptism and even communion, we are talking about a symbol here, okay? This is a picture. The Bible specifically said, like as Christ, okay? And when it said like as Christ, it specifically said buried with him by baptism and death, and then like as Christ raised. And sometimes you'll hear buried with him in the likeness of his death, raised in the likeness of his resurrection. And so that's like as Christ. It's a picture of Christ. It's also an identification with Christ. So sometimes you hear baptism referred to as a first step of obedience for a Christian. What happens after you get saved? Well, the next step for you as a child of God is to be baptized, scripturally baptized, right? Now, let me say a couple of things that we don't do concerning baptism. First of all, we don't baptize infants around here. Amen. An infant can't come to the place where they are convicted of their sin. They cannot understand that they are sinners yet. They're not to the age of accountability where they're conscious enough to know that they're sinners. So there's no baptism of infants around here. So somebody might say, well, preacher, I've been saved, but I was baptized as an infant. Friend, according to the Word of God, you need to be baptized, okay? So scripturally speaking, that really did nothing for you, okay? Except maybe rinse your forehead, all right? So don't take that wrong, but that's about the extent of it, okay? Again, we're talking about biblical things. So we don't baptize infants. In fact, if you understand church history, that's part of what got Baptist people killed. That was one of the distinctions, was the fact that we do not believe and practice, according to the Word of God, infant baptism. So there's not going to be any baptizing of babies around here. Now, what we have done before on occasion, or I have done, is sometimes people have a desire to dedicate their child to the Lord. And I think that's honorable. But let me also say, that does not mean that they're saved. Amen. Hannah dedicated Samuel, and that's generally where we get that picture from. And I think that's wonderful and that's great. We've had baby dedications. We've done baby dedications for our children, but that did not give them salvation. Okay? So understand that. So there's no baptizing of babies. The other thing that we don't do is we don't do a sprinkling. The baptize is to immerse. Amen? So there's complete, you go completely under. And I'm not trying to be funny, but if I see you not go completely under, I'm going to redunk you, dear friend. Okay? So if you don't want to be, if you don't want me to dunk you twice, then just go ahead and not resist, amen, and just go ahead and go under, right? So, I mean, I believe in complete immersion, complete, you know, covered under the water. And so we don't baptize infants, and then also when we do baptize, we don't sprinkle. We believe in complete immersion, okay? The other thing we don't do is we don't baptize before salvation. Amen. You know, I've had people sometimes call and say, well, Pastor, I'd like to be baptized. That's great, but we need to have a conversation first. And the conversation that we need to have first is to know that you've been saved. Amen. If you come and talk to me about baptism, then just I'm going to ask you when you got saved. It's important that we know and establish that. And we're also going to ask, may probably ask you some questions about that. Not that we're questioning your salvation, but we need to make sure that it's scriptural, church. If we're going to practice the ordinance of the church that God has blessed us and allowed us to do, we need to make sure that it's of God, that it's of Scripture, okay? Now, I want to give you something here. Acts chapter 8. Go to Acts chapter 8. Brother Dana, I did not give you this. Sometimes I throw Brother Dana curveballs just to make sure that he's still back there and he's paying attention. I know that's not Brother Dana. Go to Acts chapter 8. And verse 35, if you would. Acts chapter 8, verse 35, and we'll give you just a moment to get there. Amen, brother. Acts chapter 8 and verse 35. Look, he's good. The Bible says, then Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. Now, there's so much right there. This is not even really what we're talking about, but I like the fact that somebody saw a need and they opened up their mouth and gave scripture and preached the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. You know, that you can never go wrong by seeing someone and telling them about Jesus. Amen. You just can't go wrong. Say, well, Pastor, what if they reject? Well, just understand, really, there's three outcomes that can happen when you share the gospel. First of all, we hope and pray that they receive Christ. We want to see them get saved. Obviously, that's the best outcome. If they didn't get saved, then you planted a seed. Amen. You planted a seed or watered a seed. And so there was something there that now a thought, now maybe it's something they're thinking about. Now it's allowing the Holy Spirit to work in their heart and convict them of their need for salvation. Or thirdly, if they reject Christ, say, how is that good, Pastor? Well, because you've honored the Lord. Because you've honored God. Right? So let's not be focused as much on outcome as much as obedience. I mean, let's just be obedient to the Lord. But anyhow, I'm glad for this. I'm thankful for that. In verse 36, and they went their way, they came unto a certain water. And the eunuch said, here's water. What doth hinder me to be baptized? So here again, the eunuch is not completely understanding salvation and baptism. He said, Philip, here's some water. Why can't I just go ahead and be baptized? Watch what happens next. And Philip said, if thou believest with thy heart, thou mayest. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. You know what the eunuch was telling him? You can be baptized, but you got to be saved first. Amen? Baptism is not the main concern here. The main concern is salvation. Amen? And I used the example, I think, a couple of weeks ago, how the thief on the cross, when he received the Lord Jesus Christ, and Jesus told him, today thou shalt be with me in paradise. Obviously, he did not have time to come off of the cross, get baptized, but yet Jesus told him he was still going to go to heaven. So here, the eunuch is saying, what's stopping me from being baptized? Well, really, it's not complicated, just salvation. Be saved, and then you can be baptized. And so, if thou believest with thine heart, thou mayest. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And he commanded the chariot to stand, and they went down both into the water, so both Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. And when they were come up out of the water, so they had to be in the water to come up out of the water. Are you with me? So there we see that he was saved first, then he was baptized. Okay? So, again, when we're talking about baptism, understand that, you know, we don't do infant baptism. We don't practice that. Infants cannot come to their place of accountability to be convicted of their sin. We don't sprinkle. We baptize by immersion, and we don't baptize before salvation. Must be saved to be baptized. And again, let me say this before I move on. Baptism is not connected to salvation in making you go to heaven. Okay? So I just don't want any confusion on that. You know, praise God, if you've been saved by the grace of God, you're on your way to heaven. We want to see you get baptized, but it's not connected to your salvation. All right? Let's go ahead now and go to the book of 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter 11. And we'll start in verses 24, and we're going to read a few verses. So we've discussed a few things about baptism, and we'd like to take the next few moments and really talk about the second ordinance, and that is communion. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, and starting in verse 24. And when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me." Now let me say one more thing before we go on. The other thing that's important to understand about the two ordinances is that baptism and the Lord's Supper were both practiced and established by the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord Jesus Christ himself, if you remember, was baptized himself by John the Baptist, okay? And then here is the Lord's Supper, okay? So these are things that both Christ participated in. I think it's important for us to know that and understand that. Verse 25, "And the same manner also he took the cup when he had supped, saying, 'This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as oft as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death till he come. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread," excuse me, "and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body of the blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep." Now, when we're talking about the Lord's Supper, again, this is also a picture, really a symbol or a memorial of the Lord's death. Okay, now there's two things. Now, first of all, we don't believe that we're literally partaking of the body of Christ. We're not actually eating or drinking the body or the blood of Christ. Okay, that is not what the Bible is telling us here. This is a picture. So the unleavened bread is a picture of the purity of Christ, the body of Christ, and then, of course, the cup, the juice, that is not a fermented wine. Amen? It is not a fermented wine. So let me go ahead and take care of a couple things while we're talking about there. Nowhere in Scripture do we see that Jesus drank wine. People say, well, didn't he turn the water into wine? Understand that in the Bible, the word for wine is oinos, which is referring to a grape juice or a fruit of the vine. Okay? And so the Bible also tells us that wine is a mocker. The Bible teaches us that in the book of Habakkuk, that woe unto him who giveth his neighbor to drink. So there's plenty of evidence. Now, the lesson isn't necessarily about alcohol tonight, but I am emphasizing that it's not a fermented wine. Jesus did not give fermented drink, or else, according to the Word of God, it would have been sinful for him to do that. Now, was Christ without sin? Yes. Yes, that was a question. I'm glad that you knew the answer to that. Christ was without sin. So it was impossible for him to serve a fermented wine. Say, how much wine do you drink, Pastor? None. Zero. How much do you have in your house? None. Zero. Say, how much have you had in your life? None. Zero. I have never tasted a drop of alcohol in my life. Amen? None. It's not scriptural. The only time that is condoned in Scripture, and really if you think about it today, it's not necessary because we have medication. The only time that you see alcohol condoned in Scripture was for sickness or near death. That is the only time that you'll see it condoned. Not for pleasure, not for social gathering, not on New Year's, not for Christmas, not at communion. Okay? So, again, tonight's lesson is not really about that, but I am establishing that we're talking about an unleavened bread of purity and an unfermented wine. So again, here the bread is a picture of the body of Christ. It's not the literal picture, not the literal body of Christ. The wine, the fruit of the wine, the juice is a picture of the blood of Christ. Now remember that Hebrews 9:22 says, without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. Okay? So it's important to know that. So again, we're talking about a memorial. So this is something, a couple of things to go ahead and know ahead of time as we prepare for our communion coming up next month. We have a baptism coming up, not this Sunday, but the next Sunday. So that's part of our reason for feeling like the Lord led us to go ahead and share these things so we can be better prepared for those things. When we're talking about communion, there is some requirements, I believe, according to the Bible. So it is important that we are aware of our spiritual standing with the Lord. Amen. Is this for everybody? No. The answer is no. The short answer is no. Let me explain. Notice that it says in verse 27, wherefore whosoever shall eat this bread and drink of this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. So first of all, communion is for a person who's been saved. I don't believe it's for a person who's not been saved. Amen? I believe that it's for a person who's been saved, received the Lord Jesus Christ as their personal Savior, and with that, I believe that it's a person who is in the right relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. So if there's sin in your life, then I'm going to encourage you not to participate. Okay? Because there's a danger here to participate if you have known sin in your life. In fact, before we give communion, we're going to give everybody a time when that day comes to make some things right with the Lord. Now, you can go ahead and come down to the altar and get it right with God right then. Amen? We're going to give you that opportunity. I'm going to encourage you that. But if you know, I mean, I've literally had people come to church and say, I've got this sinful problem in my life. And I've said, well, then you better not participate. Why? Because there's a danger here. You have known sin in your life, and there's a great danger of that. Okay? Now, this is not to scare you. This is to help you. All right? I'd rather you just not go ahead and participate if we know that we have sin in our life. So first of all, it's for a person who's saved. Second of all, your relationship with the Lord is in the right standing, no known sin in your life. And so we're going to give you that opportunity to do that. So again, that's why communion is not for everybody. A person who's saved, person who's in the right standing in relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. And then as it says here, for he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. So I think that we are seeing the seriousness of this, right? We're understanding how important this is to the Lord. The other thing that we see here is it does not give us a specific time frame or frequency on when we should practice communion. That's left up to the local church at the discretion and leadership of the local church. There's not, some churches practice every fifth Sunday. That's fine if that's how the Lord's led them to do. There's nothing right or wrong about that. But I know that just here recently because of COVID, I think that there's been a pause because of obviously the serving of the elements of the unleavened bread and the juice, obviously, for passing those things around. But, you know, I think that we've been here long enough now. I think that it's time to move on and to practice this, to have one. So that's why we have one scheduled. Okay. So again, you know, the ultimate goal, say, what's the purpose? Well, it's a memorial of the Lord. It's to remember. He said this do in verse number 24, in remembrance of me. So we're taking time to remember what the Lord did for us, right? He was bruised for our transgressions, right? The Bible says, it tells us that, it talks about it in Isaiah chapter 53. So we are remembering the sacrifice that the Lord said. His body was broken for us. We know that he shed his blood for us. So we're remembering. So it's a memorial going back to what he did for us at the cross. That is the main purpose of the Lord's Supper. And then, of course, there's another thing that I think it's important. It's a remembrance. It's also a time of self-examination, which we just talked about just a moment ago. But I think it's also a time of thankfulness, right? Did you notice it says there, it says, and when he had given thanks. It's also a time of thankfulness. I think it's also a time of gratitude, as it says there in verse number 24. And this is probably where we started getting the picture of giving thanks for our food, right? I think it's good to do that. I think it's wonderful to pray and ask the blessing or give thanks for the meal that God has provided for you. Now, again, this is not a meal. This is not the purpose of that. This is not this purpose of communion is not to fill a hunger, a physical hunger, right? It's the memorial. But nevertheless, I think it's a picture of that. Now, I encourage you to pray before you eat, but I also encourage you to let that not be the only time you pray. Amen. So, you know, just a thought, again, just a thought. So then again, like I said in verse 28, let a man examine himself. Verse 29, for he that eateth and drinketh unworthily, eateth and drinketh damnation himself, not discerning the Lord's body. Verse number 30, going back to the seriousness of this, for this cause many are weak and sickly, and many sleep. Sleep is literally talking about death. So we have to be careful when we're talking about practicing. This is not something that we're going to just do in a way that's not pleasing to the Lord. We're going to honor the Lord. We're going to do this serious. It's a special kind of service. We're going to have special preparations done. So again, this just gives us a few things about it. These are the two scriptural ordinances of the church when we're talking about baptism and communion. Now, again, these are things that we believe, we practice. There's a proper way to do it. The other thing I want to say is I don't really see where these things were practiced outside of the local church, right? You know, so this is something that's done, if you look in the scriptures, it's done through the local church. I'm just not a fan of seeing, well, you know, Bob from down the street baptized me, you know, in my home or my other. It's done through the local church, right? You know, everything that we see is practiced and done. We serve the Lord, you know, through the local church, not necessarily there all the time. We have missionaries and things like that, so it's important to understand that. But in a nutshell, that's basically all that I wanted to share regarding that. I think it's important for us to know and understand, church, why we do these things, why we practice these things, why we believe these things. Now, of course, we'll get into more of those things as we go along, but I just wanted to take some time and do that. Let's go ahead and stand. Every head bowed. I ask a pianist to come. And maybe tonight, the Lord spoke to your heart about something. Maybe it wasn't even something that we talked about tonight. If you're here tonight, friend, we always want to give you the opportunity. If you've never trusted Christ as your personal Savior, we do want to encourage you to do that. Amen. We'd hate to think you were here and you had an opportunity to receive Christ and didn't do it. And, of course, we're talking about the time where you received. Ask the Lord to forgive you your sins. Come to your heart and save you. Every head bowed and every eye closed and say, maybe tonight, Lord, the Lord spoke to my heart about something, Pastor. Lord spoke to my heart, or the Lord is speaking to my heart. Would you pray for me? Maybe something tonight that was said, help me or pray for me. I see that one hand. Thank you. I see that hand. Thank you. I see that hand. Thank you. Thank you. You may put it down. God spoke to my heart tonight. Would you pray for me, Pastor? Anybody else? Thank you. I see that hand. You may put it down. Thank you for that. Anybody else? Is there someone here tonight that would say, Pastor, I've never received the Lord Jesus Christ as my personal Savior. If I was to die today, I don't know for sure that I'm going to heaven when I die. Would you pray for me? Would you pray for me? Thank you. I see that hand. Anybody else? Anybody else? Anybody else before we pray? Let's pray, and please remain standing in prayer. Father, we thank you, Lord, for, again, your goodness and grace. Lord, thank you for allowing us to be in church tonight. Thank you, Lord, for, Lord, those who, first of all, lifted their hands. God, just that you spoke to them or dealt with their heart about something, Lord. You know what that is. I pray that you just do a work that only you can do. And, Father, we know the one hand that, Lord, was raised, and Lord has been already talking about salvation this last week, and Lord, I just pray that you help them to get understanding, and God, just work in a way that only you can. And Father, we'll give you the thanks for it. Please remain standing with your heads bowed as we pray, church, for just a moment. Maybe you got a need tonight. We want to give you an opportunity to come down, do business with the Lord. If God spoke to your heart, we want to invite you to come. Jesus said, come, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. We invite you to come to the altar. Now, I do believe that you can pray where you're at. I understand that. But there's something special about coming to the altar. Amen. Special type of commitment to the Lord. So if that's you tonight, we want to give you a chance to do that. If you've got a need tonight, would you come? Whatever your need is, would you come? Some have already come. You just pray with us, church. God spoke to your heart. Just mind the Lord tonight. Be obedient to the Lord. God, speaking to hearts tonight, church. You just continue to pray. Maybe some special needs. Church, for just a moment, let's do this. Let's go to page 153, All to Jesus. Well, let's sing that, page 153, All to Jesus. Page 153. Sing with us here. Surrender all to Him. All right, sir. Thank you. Be seated for just a moment. Brother Dana, if you'll go ahead and pause that, if you would, on the live stream. A couple of